lucky message. I have to turn back at 7:05, so ready? We're on. Okay, let's call to order the regular meeting of the North Bend Planning Commission for Thursday, July 27, 2017. First item is for the chair to call the roll. Commissioner Gildersleeve.
Here.
Commissioner Heller.
Here.
Commissioner Miller.
Here.
Commissioner Ryan.
Here.
Commissioner Von Trapp.
Present.
Commissioner Lucky. Absent. All right. Next item is to approve the agenda for tonight's meeting. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So.
And a second?
Okay.
Motion by Commissioner Gildersleeve, second by Commissioner Von Trapp. Any changes or comments? All those in favor say aye.
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 Agenda is approved. It's unanimous. Next item is to approve the minutes for the meeting of the July 13th, 2017 Planning Commission meeting. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
So a motion by Commissioner Von Trapp, second by Commissioner Miller. Any comments or changes? I'd just like to shout out to Tom or whoever did the minutes that appreciate your hard work and listening to our lengthy meeting and capturing so much detail. Really seems that you've captured the spirit of the meeting, so thank you. With that, any further comments or changes? All those in favor of approving the minutes for July 13, 2007, say aye.
Aye.
The minutes are approved. It is unanimous. Next item on the agenda is public comment on non-agenda items. Seeing no one from the public present, we will move on to agenda item number 4, which is the continued discussion of the North Bend Municipal Code amendments to permitted land use chart table 18.10.030 and associated minor amendments. Ms. Burrell, would you like to give us any updates that have happened since the last meeting?
Sure. So on the screen, for everybody to see, we have the table of permitted uses. Last meeting we went through and made some kind of consensus-based changes or had some thoughts, and that's summarized on page 5 of the packet. And so I've reflected those changes and highlighted them in yellow, the Planning Commission's changes. So it's a working document. You can use the table from your last packet. We can look together. So the other items, so starting on page 1 of our packet, just kind of an introductory memo of some of the items I included in the packet for either us to talk about tonight, think about in this context of all these amendments. So as I said, the summary of our discussion, and my thought there was to, if everything was captured correctly, just kind of keep track of that, because there's a lot of things going on, and be able to pass that to council committee, and then if we have a work study, move it along and capture your thoughts, because you can't always be there or be heard, and there's a lot of voices here. So that was the first thing. The second thing is chapter 18.10, the zoning district purposes, which starts on page 6. And that's been one thing that's come up before when looking at permitted uses. It's like, let's go back to what are these zones and what did we intend them to be? And if that's not being shown through our permitted uses, then either we're inconsistent or maybe we need to look at changing our definition of our zoning districts, and maybe it's more of a comp plan issue, which we could dock it for next year. And then Chair had asked for, the Bakes Marine had submitted a request or a proposal, nothing formal, no pre-application, but for a property along North Bend Way. So I included that for your information, and also a proposal for some townhomes in a neighborhood business zone along Southeast Tanner Road. And we touched on that before. It's that blue area kind of in the middle of the map on Tanner Road. So it's, go a little bit left. There you go, right down a little bit on the, yep. So in that area is a little unique, being off of Tanner Road, across from Cottage, to the south would be the Chinook lumber site and multifamily. Right now we have that moratorium in place for, it's for no single family in the neighborhood business, the special districts, and the IMU. So, and let's see. The CED committee met July 18th and also feel like we need to take some time to consider multifamily uses in the neighborhood business zone. It doesn't seem like there's a level of comfort for how much, you know, how much would we want to see. We don't want to see all of one thing, but maybe not all of another. Maybe not all residential, but maybe not all commercial. So they would like to come back and revisit that too. And, you know, is the neighborhood business zone in the right place? Is there too much of it, too little of it? Those sorts of questions. We also went through the docket summary and our next steps. And for that, on page 3 and 4 of the packet, next week, August 1st, council will take the resolutions that had to do with the zoning map. So 1, 2, 3, and 5. And is that right? 1, 2, 3, and 5 are going to be batched together. The only difference, which is noted from the committee's recommendation, was on number 5. That's the LDR property along North Bend Way, Thrasher, those five properties, and Planning Commission recommended approval, and the Council Committee felt like it was a great spot on the map. It makes sense on the map, but it's a little further out from the downtown than they want to see to continue multifamily, and they also felt like the last time we looked at this amendment, the homes along Thrasher, those single-family homes along Thrasher, were pretty outspoken against it, and so they wanted to make sure that if we make a change to zoning there, that those people are really engaged. And we had a public hearing at the last council meeting on the street standards, which is number 7 of the dockets, and that was because they added in a Southeast Cedar Falls Way amendment after you guys had reviewed it. So we had looked at North Bend Way and wider planter strips and biochannels. There wasn't a lot of changes there from the council committee, and the Southeast 140th depiction. Then they added in basically right now on the north side of Southeast Cedar Falls Way, there is an existing, that's where the sewer goes down. So there's an existing 15-foot easement, and then so that's formalizing that as an easement, putting some planting in over the top if we can, but it's, you're gonna have to be careful about that. And then tree retention for another 15 feet. So basically 30 feet of dedication when you develop. And for the most part, the areas on the north side of Southeast Cedar Falls Way have about 25 to an average of 25 feet of undeveloped right-of-way. So most of it's accommodated in the right-of-way. Just like any other development, there might be a minor dedication needed. And that's the only change. There were no changes to the actual street driving area. There were comments about that. There were comments that maybe it's too wide. Maybe we don't need a center turn lane all the way down Southeast Cedar Falls Way. And that's a valid comment. And maybe it's focused on intersections more. And again, it's just going to take time for Southeast Cedar Falls Way to get developed. But what we heard was sidewalks or paths or something on both sides is important. Trees are important to keep. But so there was some written comments and some comments at the meeting, but I anticipate they'll move forward with that amendment. We'll take it to committee one more time before it goes to council with the other docket. Yeah. Do you have a question on that one? Or?
Yeah, I was just thinking, so when we're talking about trees along the roadway, mm-hmm. one thing I don't know in our code, if we have provisions for minimum sight distances. Mm-hmm. And so when we're pulling out from intersections, make sure right. we have clear lines of sight.
Yes. Yeah, we do. Yep. And, you know, for the most part along there, it's linear. I mean, you can see quite a ways. But when you get to intersections, yes, we wouldn't put new plantings, and we'd limb up if we needed to. So that takes care of half of the dockets, basically. So, and then the remainder, Mr. Edding's request for the car wash. They're wanting to see that recommendation again. I requested maybe they hold off because you guys are looking at permitted uses. There were some differences of opinion. There was some public comment received that, hey, we kind of want some of these service uses that you're taking away. And for some of the environmental aspects, I think they're rethinking it. And Mr. Eddings was at the council committee, the last two, to talk to them. So we're deferring that one till we kind of wrap it into this, permitted uses. And then same thing with docket 6. That's related to neighborhood business. They'll have your recommendation, but we're not there on all aspects of it. And number 8, neighborhood business zone along 140th to LDR. Planning Commission recommended approving that. And the council committee is probably fine with that, but they want to send letters to all of the property owners just to make sure, because we heard from one that they were upset about that change. So we're thinking in the next couple months. We can't actually make this effective until March because it's a comp plan. If we change it, it's a comp plan land use change from commercial to residential.
So, Jamie,
so we have some time.
Sending letters. Weren't letters already sent when the change?
Right. Letters were sent. We heard from one actual property owner out of all those. So they wanted to send something specific to, this is what it would mean, you know, if it changed to this. This is maybe the pros, the cons. And try to see if we can get more feedback. Because it's a big change, and once you go there, you don't want to have to change it back. So that was their input for that one, which I think is good. And then 9 and 10 are pretty straightforward, but again, they're related to permitted uses and stuff that we're doing here. So I think it will just be formalized when we change the code with these. I guess the only clarification I have before you guys dive in is on page 5, my notes, after I typed them, I was looking at, and the bullets are not numbered, about halfway down, use 2.22, recreational vehicle park. We talked about that, and I had put, should be allowed in Tanner Junction. Is that correct, or did we mean Tanner Landing?
Can you point out Tanner Junction?
Tanner...
So. Everybody's clear on what Tanner
right. So Tanner Junction's here. Mm-hmm. Orange and Tanner Landing is here. So we were talking about recreational vehicle parks and KOAs and such. I just wanted to make sure I was clear what overlay. I can't remember who brought it up, but it would be, I was thinking, I said this, and maybe meant this.
No. Not a storage lot destination, that's manufactured.
Hold on, so that's under commercial?
Yeah, 2.22 is the use, I think.
I was just saying, I guess moving, when we do move forward, mm-hmm. I didn't see descriptions of the MPODs, so that was kind of one thing that was hard for me to understand the intent. Mm-hmm. So
okay. Yes.
Does anybody have a note about that? Because I don't have a note.
2.22 recreational vehicle park.
I don't have it. I didn't mark down a change. where'd the change come from? Might have been something we discussed at our last meeting. Say yes altogether or something.
Okay, well, I'll flag that as, and maybe take it out or see where we land. But
Jamie, that's the one I had circled.
Okay, yeah.
Wasn't that located down by Truck Town? That discussion
Right. So it's not storage. This is a like a KOA, like a recreational, like a camping spot, or
and that's short-term.
Right. Right. And
But that's not neither of those two sites. That would be in a zone, right? And it's EP one.
EP1.
The camping slash temporary quarters circumstance, I remember.
Yeah.
On either one of those. Yeah,
it was an interchange.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really question that area for something like that, too. I mean, aside from proximity to I-90, it is not consistent with the surrounding uses.
Mm-hmm.
Yes and no, when you think about the middle court being a lot of day use activities and only 39 camping spots down the area. No, we're talking about at exit 34.
Okay. I was back on what she was talking about. That. Mm-hmm. Just
I don't think anybody is.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not thinking there.
Okay.
As the planning commission, right?
Or
I don't recall any overlay district and campsite conversation.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know where I was.
Issue of maybe consistency across zones. That the thought process needs to be: if we're okaying it, if it makes sense in this place, but that is the zone, it's then going to affect these other areas that have similar zones.
Right, and so.
So if we look at the recreational vehicle park, is that what it is? It's only permitted in interchange commercial.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll take that out.
Is there anybody that wants to consider something different?
Change the topic. Yeah. If this one's wrapped up, I'm going to change the topic slightly to something else. Issue it over quickly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Use the car wash.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to understand the gist of it. So I believe we voted before the whole process, we voted to approve it.
On the docket, yes.
And it's coming back to us again, trying to figure out.
Well, it's not that it's coming back. It's a little messy because we've got all these code amendments going on and all these balls in the air. And the process to take it for approval is an ordinance and a change to this section of the code, which we already have open. So it's less work, time, energy, we're already moving through, this train's already going, so let's tack it onto this, and I don't think you'd get there any faster if you took it separately. And he submitted as part of the docket process, he didn't pay and do it individually, so.
So part of the thought I'm having along with the question is, if I'm a person who submits through the docket request process, the hard way now that what's going to really happen is I'm going to get tagged in with 20 other dockets. Mm-hmm. The city council is going to play around with the whole ball at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of diminishes the value, I think, of the end of the docket process.
Yeah.
I'm venting a little bit against the council adding so many to it just because they had a meeting one weekend.
Right.
It's just a frustrating.
Right.
There's something that should have been really amazing and wonderful for people to come in and feel like they can get things done.
Right.
And it's turned into a quagmire.
Yeah, and it's taking longer than it usually does. We just opened next year's dockets for solicited that.
The process worthless if it stays on this course.
Right.
If the spirit of the docket, like Commissioner Lucky is saying, is more for the individual to have that opportunity, is there anything that we can do in our comprehensive plan that kind of says specifically geared towards the individual, prioritizing for residents of North Bend, and where the city can put things on our agenda at any mm-hmm. time during the year, this should be focused on the citizens?
Yeah. I'd have to look at the language a little more. I think it's, I mean, I don't think it takes away from that. It definitely, that's the intent of it, is to allow anyone, you don't even have to be a citizen, to suggest a change. But you are getting bashed into a bigger process. And some years there's like one docket, some years there's 10. So it depends. I would say in this case with the car wash, he's okay that we're taking a little longer because the discussion's changing some. And he's hopeful. He doesn't. That was my only other fear, is if we brought him forward, that it would just be shot down. And it's like, well, let's maybe think about it in the context of all these other changes and all these other comments we've received and deliberations. So.
Sounds like the commission's point of view doesn't care much weight with the council in that case. If we have voted to support car wash in a certain zone. Mm-hmm.
The council committee is the only one who's formally looked at it. At first, I would say all three of them were kind of against allowing the use. Now two are resistant. One has come around and actually wants to entertain allowing it. And it would go to full council at a work study where they could discuss it instead of a council meeting. So
for many months, I've been suspect about this process because it doesn't seem like what we say to the council has much weight. Mm-hmm. If we agree with them, we're fine. Mm-hmm. If they don't agree with us, we're not fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I thought having your thoughts, and that's why it's important to capture these correctly. I don't know where the vehicle part came from. But to get something in writing of here's our thoughts and feelings and why we ended up with our recommendation that we had. You know,
there's a thought. I've had the same thing. I'm like, not just a thought, it's a frustration. It makes you begin to think you're wasting your time. And so, one of the things that I've always tried to do is become a voter. And car wash is the perfect example. Remember how quickly I was to go vote and get it done. Because that's a message that's publicly available. Mm-hmm. The commission recommended X, mm-hmm. and accepted it is. And now that's, we're handing the ball to the council to have rationale behind doing something different. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure what level we can take it to, but if we've spent time thinking through something and studying before we get here and asking the people out that we're out and around, and we've come in and decided we have a clear answer for something, it ought to be a major incident if the mm-hmm. council doesn't agree with us. But this is our job. Mm-hmm. That's all we do. So I'm venting again. Like everybody kind of think about that if we can. How do we get the message to the council that that's a theme of our meetings?
Mm-hmm. I appreciate you mentioning that. Yeah, I think that's well said, and part of it, I share that same thought process, and that becomes a little bit on my part to go to every CED committee meeting and be able to share our thoughts, and you're welcome to go, you know, as well. Sometimes they're not so willing to hear us, but that is the place that I think we can carry our message forward, and the same thing with council meetings and do it publicly.
I think that's super valuable, and I wish I could go to more. It's kind of like twice a month pushing my envelope.
Well, I've been to one. Right. My only one, I was shut down. You have no voice here.
Right. Our vote, with whatever the action is before us, if we take the time on whatever the topic is to get it to a place, even if we only get one thing done that night, if we get it to a vote, that piece goes up the food chain a lot differently than we had a conversation. Mm-hmm. So I two cents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're still talking about our permitted land use chart. And does anybody have any questions or blazing requests that we didn't get right in the first meeting, or do we want want to go through it just to see our changes and discuss anything else, the Bakes letter, or do you want to start with the description of the zones and then come back to the table? What would help?
Is there any low-hanging fruit we could just knock out?
No, it's kind of like, is the table done or is it not?
Gotcha.
The part that I was mentioning was, you know, the overlay districts, and I guess that's what we're deciding on too, but I'm just not sure.
Right, so the overlays, they're in the code, and I could have printed you the probably 10 pages that that encompasses. The focus isn't as much there, I would say, because they are, so they're overlays, and the underlying zone for the Tanner Landing and Tanner Junction is EP1. So those are intended to allow EP1, or we've allowed multifamily. Right now, we have interim regulations on the Tanner Landing and Tanner Junction, and we have emergency regulations put on that because of that Tanner Landing development. Those are going to be coming back to you next month. But in general, they might restrict a few of the EP1 uses, but they're generally consistent. And then the one out at Trucktown has a few exceptions. It doesn't allow a few EP2 uses. It allows certain more commercial NB uses around part of that overlay. So they mimic what you end up with in your zones, in your other zones. So not to ignore them. Definitely keep them in mind as we go through. But yes, the regulations. And then the only other thing that we talked about some at the last meeting related to residential, since that's what's first on the chart, is we talked about a lot about how mix is good. Our planned neighborhood development, PND, it's never been used since I've been here, but it allows for you to mix types of residential. We used to allow some multifamily in LDR. That's no longer. In the cottage, you can do up to 15% multifamily if it's fee simple. In the LDR, if you do a PND, you can do cottage. So you can mix cottage homes and LDR. It doesn't get you more density necessarily, just a mix of those homes. So I just wanted to touch base on that, that you know, we have a little bit of allowance in our code,
and
not
HDR,
a lot.
And you can do cottage.
Right. Through a P&D right there, where I'm hovering my mouse, yep.
So that kind of goes to your point, you were talking about MCR
right.
Types of housing. So
yeah. Right now, it doesn't allow you to put in a duplex, a triplex, anything in the LDR. Our code does not.
I was speaking at the time a long ago. I'm not sure it's what we're going to do today.
Okay.
There's got to be a habit mixed value of homes in the same neighborhood.
Right.
I think in our downtown commercial, that's where I think we have a good concentration of the mix. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see.
So as far as residential, I'm kind of looking at some of it here, the single family. The comment was for manufactured home parks. At least a few of you, I think, felt that we should allow that somewhere in our city. Right now, it's allowed in NB, but the proposal is to take it out, or the consideration is to take it out.
Jamie?
Yeah.
I think you forced us to allow it. I wouldn't allow it, but you're saying that.
Manufactured homes, yes. Manufactured home parks right here, 1.13 is what I was talking about. The home parks. We've right now they're only in our neighborhood business. So our discussion was, do we want to allow a new home manufactured home park in? And if so, where would we want to see that or not?
I'm struggling with the definition. I don't think I've actually seen that before, manufactured home park. I get the manufactured home by itself, mm-hmm. but then when you say you call it a park, it may as well mm-hmm. be a mobile home park. I'm trying to distinguish.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, without looking it up, what do you think? Right. What's the sense of?
Well, mobile homes are could be licensed, could be movable.
Right.
The manufactured homes are on a foundation. They're... they're stick built, they're just not built on site. And so they're brought in. And so that's 1.12 is something you have to allow where single family is allowed. You have to allow a designated manufactured home to be placed.
Jamie.
The manufactured home park is a bunch of them in the neighborhood.
But you just explained all our zones, how we can, in low density residential, we can do cottage, and in cottage we
right.
do HDR. So
right.
we have some blending. Why would we create a special zone for just manufactured homes? If we can do a manufactured home in any zone,
right.
it doesn't make sense to have it standard.
To have a designated park, right.
For all practical purposes, there's no difference, aside from the fact that they used to be on wheels, between mobile homes and manufactured homes. It's simply a difference in how they're constructed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You don't find what you think of as trailer parks.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not how they're constructing those. So this was the one that kept throwing me as I was looking at it, because I look at that and I'm like, it's duplicative.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what we really have in the difference is when you're allowing them to place a manufactured home, they're usually eliminating the title on the manufactured home. It is, as far as the county's concerned, at that point, a house.
Mm-hmm.
Affixed mm-hmm. to the, exactly, it was on a permanent foundation, it's simply been constructed elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
With a park, they don't own the land they sit on, they may own the home. So it's the same as a trailer park. We're just distinguishing them in a different way based
mm-hmm.
on this perception that this new stick growth is somehow different.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find that they still, when those manufactured homes, new ones are done, they still have
mm-hmm.
a vent plate.
So your key point was that different than just owning the land is that you own the home but not the land underneath.
Exactly.
So
that's
you're renting
difference.
The space or the lodge.
Kind of between a condominium and an apartment. Or
you know, they're in Falls City,
mm-hmm.
and I want to say it's your community, there is an area where they own the land and, that is a manufactured home park. But it's essentially an HOA, and all of the structures in there are manufactured homes. And you have a variety of these, the older ones that we would call trailers, and these new units that come in on a flatbed and get placed on a foundation. So I think that we've created two separate entries for what is the same thing in terms of how it's handled. It's just a difference in the way the structure is.
Mm-hmm.
Shall we throw in the designated mobile homes, manufactured homes in there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, but I think that what we're doing here is it's a language issue. That designated manufactured homes is someone who owns a piece of land and wants to use the highly affordable option
mm-hmm.
of one of these manufactured
mm-hmm.
homes, put on a, you know, you still build the foundation. It's just that the house gets trucked in all done, and it's been constructed indoors in a sealed facility. So there are differences from a stick built house, obviously.
Well, would there be a difference also between, and what I hear you describing is, you know, it might be cut in half, or it might be two halves
mm-hmm.
on a flatbed, and it's assembled on site, or it might just be one, so maybe a mobile home. But then there's also these kit homes, right? They come in however many different pieces, and so I wonder where those would fall in. I think producers primarily. Those are more custom built.
Right, most of those kit homes are considered stick built.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. You just may receive it. It comes comes in, you might have a wall that comes all together, but they're treated as stick built.
Elizabeth, thank you very much for that information. That's very helpful. Jamie, the only question I have right now is, are there specific design or performance standards that a manufactured home park has that's separate that we might have placed on them, and that would be wise to keep in some way?
It's like you said, the definition is, or the difference is in the definition of the park is a single owner that manages those spaces. So it's a land ownership.
So I can create a development of designated manufactured homes. I just have to apply the same standards
you would
apply,
that code is. It would be the same as the single family.
Okay.
So I can see this taking a long time to figure out because the definition is not really crystal clear, but I can give you an example, like the mobile home park, as you described, where the ownership of the land does not follow the structure.
Mm-hmm.
Where a builder, for example, I'll just use John Day since everybody knows him, if he decides one day in one of his plat projects to build 50 homes and rent them out, and maybe instead of what he normally builds the house, he imports the framing job. The house comes in on four panelized trucks, and they put them up. That's the definition of a mobile home park, if I'm reading this right. Even though it looks just like the structure that is the street you drive down, the ownership is very different. The structure looks the same. So there's a landlord now that's collecting rent from the land on the structure that was built off-site.
Right, I don't know that that's a manufactured home. The mobile home is a single-family residential transportable in one or more sections, 8 feet or more in width, 32 or more in length, built on a permanent chassis, designed to be used as a permanent dwelling, and constructed before June 15, 1976. So the definition for mobile home is very specific. We don't allow anything but new mobile homes.
That's where you see most of it. We have some examples.
Right.
Most of the new ones that are coming in are after that date.
Right.
So essentially what this is saying is we're not going to let you go buy a bunch of old 1980 mobile homes and bring them in and set them
right.
up. You're going to have to purchase
right.
these
new
ones that come out. But again, I think the way we have it organized here doesn't make clear that that's what's going on. Because it's different words to mean the same thing.
Right. Well, what is proposed, unless you guys have another opinion about it, is that 1.13, 1.14, 1.15 go away. They're not allowed. So you have single family dwellings, you have designated manufactured, and if you don't fall into those, then you go down to cottage, you go down to multifamily.
Lose one of our options because one of our maps, I think we have two examples actually. You have people who own at least the space. There's at least one that I think is all rental.
Right.
So the property owner owns and controls all the homes
right.
and
those can remain. They're existing.
Right. But when we're thinking in terms of what we want for the future and whether or not this makes sense, because I know there was a lot of conversation and there has been a lot of conversation about having a mix of different options to increase affordability. You will find that there are a lot of people that buy a home in one of these mobile home parks. It's their first house, essentially, that they may later be able to use to or their last house. For there are a lot of older individuals who essentially downsize into those because we don't have a lot of affordable options other than that in our area. So if we take away the ability to do what I guess we would call the manufactured home park, since anyone doing it new is going to use newly constructed ones according to current construction style for this type of thing. If we take that away, we don't have any ability to provide that option in the scale of affordable. So I'd be, I think 1.4 and 1.5, that makes sense.
Right.
Because you're not going to see someone bringing in that many old trailers. I don't think there are that many in condition to move or mm-hmm. really left based on the getting construction.
Mm-hmm.
So but if we keep the 1.3.
So currently the P was in neighborhood business. Is that where you think the P goes, or is there another zone where you think manufactured home park should be allowed?
I think we'd be more likely to be able to get that kind of development in neighborhood business. I think we'd see a lot of mm-hmm. resistance to it going into, I think, HDR may be more appropriate given the kind of density that you see.
So. Okay, neighborhood business or HDR, and keep in mind that the most of the discussion in our last meeting was taking residential out of neighborhood business because we minimized how much neighborhood business there is.
And that would be why I wouldn't want it there, but I think that you'd see a lot of resistance to it going anywhere else
mm-hmm.
because of perceptions about
right.
trailer parks.
Would it be possible to have more than one designated manufactured home?
Correct. Correct. And then that would be, it would have to follow, it would essentially fall under single family standards for development, as in streets and
multiple designs depending
and the lots and the, yeah.
So they can go over like 10 out of 50.
Right.
Designated.
Yep.
I do think that the most likely thing that we would see is someone who purchases land as an individual and wants to place a manufactured home on the plan.
Right. And, or maybe you'd see some of our, out of our three that exist now, the one, maybe somebody would buy that and redo it into a manufactured home park. And that'd be an improvement to some of those. I mean, so, and those are in NB right now. So,
here's another caveat, and I'm comfortable with the park piece. That word to me, I get the whole, that's the landlord's world, and I'm okay with maybe not having that. But if we're not going to have it in B, I think we should have it somewhere else. And here's why. So what's happened in the, if you look at the proximity, the very closest to town, mobile home park, as the land becomes more and more valuable, as the town, if you put it this way, encroaches on the park, that land value goes way up over time. It's happening now. And so if we don't provide a replacement for that resident somewhere else in town, en masse, they're going to leave. There'll be no place for them to live because their land value's gone up way past what rent can pay for them. So that's the piece that I look about. Is that, to me, that is an entry-level dwelling in most municipalities, and so I think we should not get rid of it.
Okay.
But that's what we've done here, though.
No, that is...
read this right.
That is... The red is council committee's recommendation.
To leave it.
No,
to take it out. That. And yours would be to add a P right here and highlight it and say, nope, we don't... It's not our recommendation.
The discussion, I think, can be this. When we were talking about along North Bend Way in our last meeting, we talked about in neighborhood business what we would like to see there and how we would blend some residential and commercial activity and how that might look. So if we take Manufactured Home Park out of neighborhood business and see... You know, I struggle with, we have downtown commercial, but we don't have a neighborhood commercial zone. And reading like Redmond's Code, where they talk about a neighborhood commercial zone, how it appeals to fit in a community where residences exist, where you have trails and you have, you know, other amenities. To me, neighborhood business might be one thing, but neighborhood commercial is a blend of business and residential. And how we put those together, I think, is something we should do. I don't know if that means we can replace a mobile home park. It gives an alternative, you know, living space. Just as another thought
in
to
the,
get
and,
back to our last meeting.
Right. Maybe you're trying to say, too, that, I mean, the NB allows commercial uses, so you could have a mix of...
Commercial residential.
Right.
So that
that's true.
you create some opportunity.
If 115 is what I'm looking at, if we, and you're trying to be clear, the council is recommending get rid of that?
Yes.
Altogether in the city, throughout
yes.
the city?
Yes, mobile home park shifts.
And I'm hearing some of us, at least I would say, we can keep it somewhere. Maybe it's not neighborhood business anymore, but it's got to be somewhere. And the question I come up with, just kind of using real life data, is okay, where's the truck stop or where's the bus stop? Where's the last bus stop in town? Because that fits with, if there's going to be 60 folks, 60 families living in town, that's a good cutoff. If somebody's already figured out, that's a good place to have a bus stop. Do I know, as you go out North Bend Way, where does that end? Is it all the way to Trucktown?
Metro
bus.
Ace.
Yeah. Stops at Ace?
Yeah.
No further east.
And that is a challenge because, and we talk about the safety of people walking on that road up there. This is another issue, is that when you have older individuals who may not be driving anymore, they're relying very heavily on the community transport right now. If they live anywhere outside of downtown core. So I can see where you're going in front of
that. I don't want to change the subject. I was just trying to use that as a
think about
territory.
That, you know, then it makes it, you know, a conversation for cottage or downtown.
Right. Everything.
But again, a scale of affordability, because I'm talking about a group of people who want to own the home that they live in, but may not be able to afford, particularly out here, given what land values are doing, to purchase land to put a manufactured home on, but they might be able to work out living space. And it allows them to build equity, which, you know, for their first home, they can then turn around later. And then it also gives that step-down option for someone who's headed into retirement that maybe wants to have someone who's handling all of the mowing and just build some of that in their space or whatever.
So, Elizabeth, I heard you say you would be okay to remove 1.14, 1.15, but keep manufactured home park. Everybody seemed to agree to that. And then, Jim, you just brought up that you might want to keep 1.15.
To me, the traditional, you know, mobile home park is the family living in the least expensive rental accommodation other than a three-story apartment, two-bedroom, two-bath. It's similar square footage. But it's the lateral move if you've got young kids or you're trying to live in a neighborhood, same theme. So the idea that we would remove it from the city is crazy. And part to bring back what I just said, if we remove it from the city, that means those occupants very soon, just because of the cost of the land, will be homeless in the capacity that they have been in. It's just not, the land's going to go up in value, it will be developed as something else. And every single one of the quote mobile homes just go away from the city.
Hold on, Elizabeth. Yeah, just to be clear, though, they can still stay in their existing use.
Right, but that's, a landlord can change that in a heartbeat, certainly within 12 months. You just tell everybody you're out in 12 months. And if the land value justifies that action, that's what will happen. And if you can't go and buy cheap land a little bit further out, there'll be no place to keep that going.
Commissioner Ryan, did you want
to
make
I'm just saying, point? Thanks to Jim Lucky for bringing what these mobile home parks really are. They're land banking for some future use. And that's why they're so affordable. That's why you want to have them in the downtown area, because locally, the owner of these areas are looking for a higher and better use at some point as the land matures in value and need. So it makes sense to have these parks, mobile home parks, in the downtown core. That's what happened. But I would agree with you, and that's the end result is that as the town does grow, these manufacturing parks can flip into something.
And I understand that, and that makes sense.
In the meantime, you have people who can afford to live in them, and downtown core, close to the shopping areas. I mean, and the same as a parking lot. You have these parking lots between the buildings. There should be something in there, but it's a parking lot. Well, the landowners decide it's not quite ripe enough to put something in there. So it's still a parking lot. Parking lots are no more offensive than mobile home parks.
Very challenging.
Well, I started the chat already, right? So 1.14, 1.15, I'm totally okay with, because that was based on a year. And because you have the definition, those are years, we're not going to see it. It is performance standards that become the issue with how it fits in. And I think that if you look at, is it Mount Sinai on the Walmart? Which has, is right by the cemetery, so I should know the name. They have done quite a bit for screening from the street. They maintain community standards. And again, it's the design standards and what requirements are placed on those by the city. It provides an important niche, given the fact that we have such a problem getting any high-density residential, to provide a place that people can afford to live out of. It does, it fits that need. So, but I am kind of wondering, I don't know about the MB. That's where I'm, we need it, but which zone is appropriate for anything new, because I'm not concerned with what we have now. They're already there, pre-existing.
The MB, so where it seems to make sense, would be where it is now by the wastewater treatment plant, and then maybe that the new area being off of 8th Street. But that's the challenge with allowing it in a zone, that it could happen. Our NB zone is sprinkled throughout the city.
I have two comments, I guess. Is that one, I think if we keep adding housing and maybe business, then we're going to have a city of homes. We're not going to have any business because we didn't leave any space for it. And I know there's existing, so there is existing, there are mobile home parks now, but is there a way to, like if it was a 50% upgrade or something like that, where they would have to go to manufactured homes? So
yes.
That would be more interested in seeing that it improve in that way. I mean, there's two options, either upgrades to a manufactured home park, I guess there's a couple, you know, or it goes... I guess maybe the other one is it goes away and is some other business. I think we kind of talked in the last meeting that that may be unlikely. It would just be wiped out and be something entirely different.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was going to change, it would be able to look at I guess really lifestyle, I don't know what it is, healthier maybe, you know, safer. Things and affordable still, because I don't think that those are going to be $600,000 manufactured home.
Thank you for your comments.
You know, I just was thinking this has been really interesting, as well as conversations were great. I've been very quiet, but taking everything in. But the mobile home, the way it has to be across the trail, is the sewage treatment plant. No one wants to really smell that. I live and smell of it daily. There's a bus stop right there, anyway. I see people all the time walking out of there, connecting, and going forward. But we have to consider a viable place for people who are getting pushed out very quickly. I was on the edge about envy, but I'm thinking more towards liking that idea. Because someone who would be able to be able to stay here and experience living in downtown, working in downtown. School. We have the standards in place, so the upkeep is there, trees lined up, better safety for the
So Jamie, I have a question to Mary's point. She's kind of touching on, you know, residential in neighborhood business, and if that's something that we'd like to consider, how would we go about having the discussion so we can actually put in place all the standards that we would like to have? Are design standards something we can do on the Planning Commission, or is that solely with council?
Nope, design standards are part of our code, development code, and they're in place. So if it's falling under single family, we have single family design standards. We have multifamily design standards. So.
But do we have mixed use design standards where you talk about park space and sidewalk widths and, you know, view corridors or, you know, pedestrian trails and bike trails? And so all that has to be, I think, something we talk about as a recreational city and mm-hmm. keeping with that theme. If we're going to talk about how to develop neighborhood business to service both commercial and residential, let's think about it in a way that fits within our city and our neighborhoods and where we have this stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm all for it. I don't know how to do the dance of make the change in permitted use table and then go do the design standards, you know, and have it all caught up. Mm-hmm. I get when we make a decision, as Mr. Lucky has often said, nothing happens for three to five years because you've got to design it and, you know, get it in here. So we have a little bit of a window.
I think what Mary is also talking about is adding a cultural diversity to the downtown core, even mm-hmm. otherwise. That's crucial. Mm-hmm. And you just can't make that up. It's crucial to have it there because it adds vitality to our town.
As, you know, just to give you what I've been told, the existing lots that have been developed will not change until other lots are developed. And so I think it's just more important to do this work. And downtown core does allow for higher densities and mixed use. It's just we're not going to see that necessarily until other areas are developed first. Right? You don't get that redevelopment.
I beat the same drum all the time. I hope I'm consistent. And that is, I feel like our job is to create the opportunity to do it. And then if we see need to kind of guide how exactly that's going to come up with design standards.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, this particular topic, all of them, we should be figuring out where can they be. And then they can figure it out. The landowner, the developer, whoever, they can figure out the rest.
Right.
My concern, I guess, with doing allowances in neighborhood business becomes a problem when I get out to Meadowbrook area because I don't have sewer and I can't think about the same density and trails and that kind of thing. And that's where I'm thinking about neighborhood commercial is a different zone.
That may be an infrastructure thing that stops them.
Yeah, and that is right here, the USOD urban separator overlay. So it's called out as a separate item right here. So you're not seeing...
So we don't have that.
Right.
Although, the underlying zone, wouldn't that prevail? Are they challenged?
Nope, it is... The way it's codified here, it's urban separator overlay district... what we're saying with this change right here in 1.11 and 1.12 is that only in the CLDR, only in that portion that's yellow and hatched is where we want to see residential. What I've heard from council committee thus far, and I think you guys agree, is that we don't want to see a bunch of residential in that urban separator area.
Yes. Okay, so
where's the P?
One thought I had was, it's, like I said before, I don't know if I want to have a bunch of homes in neighborhood business, but if we did allow the manufactured home parks, I don't know if it's possible, but just to allow them where they already are,
right,
with the upgrade,
right,
not across,
which would be zone. This yellow highlight that I just added in for. Manufactured home park would be an envy.
Describe where they currently are. It's not within its own. But
yeah.
That's what I'm referring
to. We could have a performance standard that says that. Similarly, the council committee and city administrator talked about that for the car wash, if there's concern. You can say, first one in gets to have a car wash in this zone. Then that's it. So... definitely a way to do that, so that's a good recommendation. So for use 1.13.
Anybody disagree or have something different?
So clarification question. If mobile home park that exists today, which we're saying you can leave it, the structure inside that park is destroyed, either by over 50 years or a fire, that's going to be replaced with what we'll call a manufactured home, correct? Not another mobile home. Because of 1978 and the technical definitions, etc.
Well,
Or they could buy another.
Unless it were a new mobile home that could meet current standards, it would have to be manufactured. Yeah.
So I have a confusing one here. The tiny home homes that are out on wheels, where are they in all this?
Yeah, we haven't specifically addressed those in our code. I mean, I would say it's falls under kind of a cottage home.
Well, at some point, they become a mobile home.
Yes.
Right? At some...
They're both mature. So, let's imagine all those old mobile homes are gone. It's some kind of bring these new cottage homes.
I don't see a difference, honestly.
I'm just...
It's a new iteration of a mobile home.
Jamie, we tossed in our last meeting about ADUs as kind of a solution for some of those. But I think maybe it's a request of this commission that the council have us think about that. I think with population shifts or density or just affordability, that we ought to have a discussion about it, where it should go, what it looks like. And
the mini or the tiny homes.
That would go great under the freeway.
They're actually really interesting. Some of them out there. Some of them are on trailers. Others are essentially those kitchens. So it comes in pieces and you build it in place. So there would be, I think, a value to discussing which ones would be.
Well, if they're built in place, the ADU would probably govern that.
Which is
additional
accessory dwelling. So.
But some of them are. So container homes, it's a whole different world there. I see some amazing construction going on across the globe. They literally plow down there.
I don't know if that fits within our world definition.
Well, it's a
like an ADU on your own property, you have a park of things.
Yeah, it's something that we need to have a conversation about.
Right.
We have something thought out ahead of time, rather than
if it pleases the commission, I think we just figure out, make sure we're keeping the P that the council wants to get rid of.
Yes, we have no disagreement.
Now there was a request by Commissioner Heller to consider a performance standard that would say it's a P if it's on a location that it currently has a park. So it's an improved. It's improved, but it's known that it will. It's protected, but it's known that it will be improved. Because it would have to go to a manufactured home park if it were redeveloped.
So
or another use that's allowed in MB.
Go ahead.
So you can actually, you could have a situation with Mountside Mobile Home Park, which is I think the larger one, where they are at the back of the park, and they might, that particular unit could be well beyond our distance, but is it going to be the distance to the park or the distance to the unit?
It's usually to the property line, or the property.
Right.
The property has
and it's a,
is closer.
Mountside Mobile Home Park, it was the last time I saw it, is a shared septic.
I have to check that.
The owner maintains and then charges.
Yeah, so then it would be
the front door.
Yeah.
Right.
So they would be required to pick up.
Exactly.
So that's a matter of time, I would say, until that happens.
Yeah, it seemed like we had agreement then for the performance standard for the existing to continue. No,
I think that's my first thing, because I understand the affordability piece, and I agree with the diversity of our community. Secondarily, though, if it doesn't work out and we get into the expensive
Just because it's permitted doesn't mean that's the only use, right? So you could still do neighborhood business and all the
right.
allowed uses underneath it. So it's not stuck.
I'm sure we're going to come back to it. I struggle a little bit with the idea of, you know, bringing things up to code concept, right? So something, some guy's plumbing leaks from 1920s house, and all of a sudden he's got to get a new kitchen. That concept is kind of how things are throughout the land. When you have a problem, you got to go back to certain things for permitting. So I would struggle with that concept as it relates to mobile homes, which the value of which is to keep it low cost, entry level. If the landowner, property owner, whatever you want to call them, the landlord says, hey, I've got to bring every mobile home up to code every time the roof leaks, or every time one that I just pull it out and pull in a new one, that changes the dynamics of the whole project. So I struggle just a little bit with that based on the idea we're trying to keep costs down.
Okay. Let's move along to multifamily structures. Duplex, triplex, fourplex, other multifamily dwellings over four units. To me, I would think we're going to put a feedback in neighborhood business for 1.25, other multifamily dwellings over four units, if we have commercial with residential above. If we're going to say that we should have space for, or to replace a park or something like that. And that's where Jamie, I think, I would really request that we do performance standards and have that discussion. In an email that I sent, I had some questions, you know, and some references to code that I think can help in that discussion.
Yeah, and we do have that in our, at the back here, we have some, just as a starting point, performance standards for multifamily. If you want to look at them now. So, this is from our last week's packet, our last meeting's packet. The performance standard. It's like this one. Right after the table. So, last page. So, like I said, this is contingent upon what we allow in the NB zone. For multifamily 1.20, like I said earlier, we have a planned neighborhood development. We're in the cottage residential. You can have 15% of multifamily. What the change is, letter C, new multifamily constructed along North Bend Way or Bendigo shall be second story or above in the DC and NB zoning districts. Multifamily structures may be permitted to the rear of parcels located within the zone along North Bend Way when mixed use development fronts North Bend Way. We already have the red with 50% street facade build to line. I've got a depiction of that if you guys want to see. But basically, 50%, if you have 100 feet of frontage, 50 feet has to be up to the street. And then not exceeding 10 units per acre. So, oops, sorry.
I got it.
And we have a regulation for no more than 10 units per multifamily building. So that's the concept we've talked about is having a mixed use along the street. And as you go further back in the lot, allowing multifamily, where I don't know that we're at yet, is density, and how much that could amount to, because mostly the parcels by Mount Si Road, those are some big, deep NB parcels, and you could potentially get a lot of units, and I think that's the concern, is that what we want? Again, we're going to lose business opportunity. So that's where this was just meant to be kind of a starting point.
Rear parcels. Yeah, I guess I right. pictured, I guess the equivalent size, you know, if it was this room and this was neighborhood business, then behind it would be the same size building, not just a continuous row for as long as you want to go.
Right.
If as long as it's in the rear. Is that what that's saying?
Yeah, and you could, so if you have your one that's mixed, you could have one, two, three, four, you know, you could keep going. And all those back behind.
And all of a sudden, it's not really, it's not primarily in every business.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
There's a maximum lot coverage, but are you saying number
for the use?
Well, so that this is deliberately exaggerated. Someone doesn't do a 10-foot by 10-foot,
right?
You know, or
long skinny
100-foot whatever
right.
on the front to get there required, and then just go behind it.
Right.
Kind of defeats the purpose, but it defeats the letter of what we tell them
right.
to do. So, is there a way for us to say that the commercial business portion of that has to have a certain amount of
square footage of business square footage.
Exactly. Or, but the example of those long, deep ones, if we make it a business square footage, is that necessarily going to address that they might have this really long lot where they can do? I'm just struggling in my mind to think how we would make certain that we don't say 10,000 square feet, but they have enough to do 20 buildings going back.
If it was just the second story, to me, they couldn't kind of overreach in that way. Because it would be, like, that's, I just think of that place I mentioned before, across the poorhouse. It's, I think it's business, both stories, but the kind of thing where the upper or apartments. So, it's like a story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get your point, and that's where I think to understand dimensions and examples to figure out how to fit it in. And the page or the packet of information that Jamie just handed out from that email, visualizing density.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I was thinking about. And it's on the back side of the second page.
Yep.
Yeah. And I'm just looking, it has a mix of townhouse, carriage house, suburban, and garden flat, and duplexes. And so if we were to take that and figure out how you can put together the pieces depending on how much square footage or acreage you have, that's the thought I have of how to deal with that. And so how you put, you know, the business use up front with a minimum square footage, and then you can have a mix of residential, you know, depending on how big you want it.
Well, and maybe that's where a percentage is, you know, if we say neighborhood business, we want to see at least 50%, or you could go to the idea of requiring it, you know, not allowing it on the first floor. And you're driving that business or office component.
Yeah, I'm 100% okay with no residential on the first floor if we're in neighborhood business.
And that actually protects the land for the use, right? You think about that, we've covered the land with business, we just have to have something else on top of that.
10 units.
That was
10 units per acre.
Well,
or 10 units.
No, that was what was thought of in that performance standard, that's pretty low, like you said. I mean, that's extremely low, I think. But for density, you're talking what we allow. And then NB, it's a net density for other multifamily structure. 2,000 square feet of lot area per dwelling unit. You could get a lot of density with that. So,
how is that comparable to downtown core or HDI?
It's the same. It's the same. Duplexes require 3,000.
And we're still governed by the 35-foot height with pink roof?
Right. They would have to, I think. Yeah. Well, if they have units that are available on the first floor, which they wouldn't, if we, so they would have to have elevators, right?
That would be my concern, is making certain that there is. That would be the only time I would be concerned about having ground floor accessibility.
Right. That's a good point. You could have.
I just wasn't sure if there was like a skip there.
No, the only way to get around that would be to say that if there are a few, I don't know how we give a number to that, a limited number of ADA units, those could be on the first floor if they're not adjacent to the North End Way.
Given the bulk of neighborhood business, one next to downtown commercial where we get a lot of tourism, another one along North Bend Way where there's great views of Mount Si, and the other one on North Bend Way where there's the back view of Mount Si. I think we ought to talk about site and view corridors and view protection as a concern. Open space and trail system.
Anything along North Bend Way that goes above one story is going to block the view from vehicles on North Bend Way.
And that's where setbacks or stepped second level helps.
Flat roofs.
Do we allow flat roofs? I remember a discussion when we had Mr. McFarland.
No. We do not, generally.
Okay. So, we were talking about our permitted use table, just to bring this back, and adding the P in neighborhood business for other multifamily dwellings over 4 units.
Right here?
Yep. And so, I think we need to do more work on performance standards to dial that in to where I would be happy with it, but are we happy with just the use and then coming to the design standards and spending more time on it after it's given?
What's the difference between it's down to 1.54, but just the upper floor dwelling units? Does that just mean one? I mean, it's units, so it's plural.
What is this called? The mixed use residential? Is that commercial,
right,
on the first floor, residential,
mixed use, or this is what that means to the upper floor.
I'm just trying to figure out the difference between those two.
They're the same. Oh, between 1 point.
One area we're just talking about.
Right, 1 point.
2.5 and 5.4.
So comparing that one. I should probably look at them. So where we, the difference right now in the chart is the 1.54, the upper floor dwelling units is allowed in EP1 right now.
Well,
and in the overlay.
The committee decided they were okay with it in NB, the upper floor dwelling units, but not other multifamily dwellings in the core unit. So I guess I agree with the conversation we had about basically what I think is an upper floor dwelling unit. So I don't know what other multifamily dwellings in the core units is, so I'm not sure I agree with it.
Right, the other multifamily dwelling would just be, it would allow residential on the first floor. Yep, that's what you're trying to say. It would
1.25 the first one. Floor.
Yep.
Okay. So then that's not the right place. Good catch.
So, and then if you go down to 1.54, they have taken it out of the urban separator and EP1, and we want to leave it in NB.
Which
it is.
It is. Why is it taken out of HDR, upper floor dwelling units? That doesn't make sense, because that's where you would have commercial and upper floor.
I don't remember why they took that one out of when they looked at the definition. I don't.
Because whatever HDR is, I mean, it seems that making sense. I mean, it's in the downtown commercial.
What's the downside of permitting it? Why is that wrong?
That's right, yeah.
They may be looking at, we don't want to have all of this new stuff with people putting in random
commercial
space downstairs just so that they can get squeezed in a bunch of
apartments. I think that's the idea. The definition of upper floor dwelling units, residential dwelling units, each with fully contained kitchen and sanitary facilities on a second or third story above commercial or other uses. The HDR doesn't allow other uses right now.
What's other that's not commercial?
Well,
storage for the unit above?
Storage, I guess some manufacturing, industrial.
Well, if it was HDR.
A school, you know.
It would just mean it was an apartment above. It's distinguished, I think, in your business because it's business and residential combined. Mm-hmm. So if it's already residential, then it would just be a apartment type of thing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with removing the P. Mm-hmm.
I'm having trouble taking my risk manager kind of off, actually. And it can be problematic, actually, to have residential uses above certain types of commercial use from that perspective. And restaurants are, and unless they're completely up to code and super safe, it can be problematic. So there times, there's certain mixes you wouldn't want to. So, for example, having that above offices, you know, business offices and little retail shops, not a problem. You wouldn't want it above manufacturing. There's too much risk from what's going on below.
And I love manufacturing. Mm-hmm. I would rather love manufacturing.
But if we allow it, it doesn't say that someone wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Because you're always going to find, there are actually, there's a spot in Snoqualmie where they put in little tiny kind of micro apartments about what is partly wiring and partly.
Sorry, I'm just going to cut this off because if you look at the permitted use chart, we need to do some work in HDR to add in things like coffee shops and bars and restaurants into HDR. If we're going to.
So that's why it was taken out, I think. There's no other uses in HDR. It's just strictly multifamily.
So is there anybody here that disagrees with putting it in or keeping it in HDR. Because I think then our work then is to go through this
pick
table
out,
and
yeah.
add the uses that we think are compatible.
Right.
I think that it makes sense. I'm thinking heavily for our downtown area, where if you're talking redevelopment, it can be a way to get the apartments that we need as problematic as it can be sometimes to particularly vulnerable buildings. But they would have to meet current code if they were going to go in and put
isn't the risk though if we add it to HDR when we remove some of that housing
right.
that's very important. We've all said we need to so we're gonna reduce that.
Well and you also might hear that you're gonna pull from downtown businesses if you put a coffee shop in HDR. What about coffee shop in downtown?
Well I think
arrow safety though, Scott would be in terms of
in planning, in planning, yes.
We'd lose some density, but be in the interest of safety.
But in planning, if we're thinking about how to keep our city mobile and focusing everything in four or five blocks is the worst decision I can make. So when we think about having access and mobility in multiple routes and multiple places to go, and looking 20 years from now with a double the population of today, where should all those services be and how should the people get around is our task.
Should we address it by limiting how much in HDMI can be commercial? So it might work to have a little quick stop where you can pick up milk or a coffee shop.
You could
but
make
it doesn't become a primary focus.
Commercial fronts the street, everything else is residential in HDR.
I still can't get it. As we think of Stagano, maybe I'm being short sighted or ignorant, but I'm looking at the very small perversity that is HDR. And thinking about what's there, it's proximity to downtown commercial in one spot and the interchange commercial in the other spot. And thinking, like, just having commercial there just does not seem practical. You're at the end of the road. A lot of them are at the end of the road, which is not a good location for a business. It's much better for residential because it's quieter, it's safer. And so just thinking of a pure practical looking at that map, why would we need that? Why would we limit buildings there or require a certain requirement of commercial when it's really a great spot?
Not a requirement, but a permit.
That's a permit.
Yeah.
The ceilings really, the available uses are much higher from DC.
Right.
So I think what we've just talked about is having a little mom and pop shop down lower and then having a one dwelling unit above is actually small density for what's available. And I'm right on that.
Mm-hmm.
So you could,
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't just do two stories under the DC, if you could get four, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that help it make sense?
I think what you're thinking of is...
might take two blocks.
Curtis,
to do something with.
I agree with you. If you're looking at the current location, you're going, well, some of it does make sense and some of it maybe doesn't. I'm thinking on a larger scale than where I would like to see HDR between 2nd and 3rd Street and filling that in, you know, in 15, 20 years from now, and what that could look like.
I will add just a comment. Anytime I look at that again, I'm always amazed how little HDR. Given clearly expressed need.
I want to clarify my own thinking here. So if I'm an HDR building by this definition, can't I put it in DC?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So another way to see
and
HDR
NB.
Is include the red.
Right.
So we've got tons of HDR. It's just a matter of the market or the economy coming
right.
to that value of land in the development process.
Right.
Down zone, right? I can always build into a zone higher than what I have in mind. It's a matter of whether it makes sense or not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me find that section again. Where are we? Upper floor dwelling units and HDR. Okay. So flipping the page to land uses to commercial. Now, Planning Commission, I sat out last time. I'd like to be able to participate in the HDR discussion as far as what businesses are allowed in HDR. Anybody seen an objection to that?
So, are you proposing the change to keep allowing the P here in
yes.
upper floor?
Mr. Lucky, before I hand over the chair, I guess I'll just direct the Planning Commission to review the Bates Marine letter. And for the commercial section, I will only comment on the HDR business uses.
I don't have a copy of the letter. Does anybody have one?
It should be in our packet.
I didn't. Mine's still at the mailbox. All right, I'll stop this.
Yep, there's extra copies of packets up there.
Basic question, HDR, where do we have P's that we need P's and we can further the conversation?
There are no P's in HDR under commercial.
What would be an example of where we might...
Yeah, I would say...
electric vehicle charging station. Going down HDR in commercial and thinking about what should be a permitted use. So starting adult entertainment facilities.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not running this.
You are. Oh, yeah, I kind of brought that up in our last meeting. It's like you can't say no to something. You got to have a place for it to go. And if you could scroll the screen just down a hair,
so
you can see the headings.
Right. Electric vehicle charging station. So that's where we could add a P under HDR. Then you go to...
203.D is a P under HDR?
203 dot... Well, that's public accessory. I would say 203F.
I want to define an electric charging station versus some other electric charging. I want to make sure we don't create an opportunity for a developer to put in a charging station where
yeah,
there would be a bus stop.
I don't know that we want a charging station, but standalone uses in the stalls for the residents.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get to. That gives us only one item.
Yeah.
203F is a station.
Yeah.
Right.
So let's do
so
it.
So you
D.
want D.
E. Is it E or E?
Standalone use is E.
Yeah.
Public accessory to a principal use is D. So I would
just scroll up and notch on the screen. I don't know if anybody else is looking at the screen, but that's what I'm staring at.
So, E.
I think D.
It's accessory to another use that's allowed. Yep. Other than you, 203D, then E is standalone, and station is F.
I'm just trying to, I'm guessing this is all in relation to allowing the upper floor to go into the nation.
Right.
I'm just still trying to think about this a little bit. I don't know if we can move forward if everyone else is in total agreement, but my comment is kind of what Curtis said, where it's this area around Northside, Park, I think it's kind of a little bit of a dead end area. So it can stay kind of tranquil, or it can become busy with in and out traffic, like they simply allow businesses in there. So I just, it's a little bit different with neighborhood business because there wouldn't be a requirement to have a lot of homes right there. So there would be a lot of people living there with a little more in and out traffic of businesses. So just trying to think about the practicality of it. And you'd also have to have parking there that would not be just residential. I don't know if there would park on the street to go get to the coffee shop or whatever these businesses are going to be. So I don't know if that's a concern for anyone else.
Good point. There's downtown parking and, you know, abilities for people to create parking lots too. There's lots of good points. And I think as we go through these, that's good questions to have in mind.
I think Scott is a very sensitive point here with this different way for the business to change the character.
What about auto rentals and leasing? I would think that would be something necessary. If you're living in that unit, you don't own your own car, but it'd be nice to get a Zip car or something.
Think of Enterprise.
Yeah.
In other words, it's right. Out of city residential locations most of the time.
So I would go for a P in 2.03K.
For HDR.
Yep. And a P in 2.04, banks and financial institutions. I do a P in 2.05, bars and taverns. I do 2.06, business and professional offices.
Okay, hold on. 2.03, auto.
I don't know about business services. I don't think you would want heavy traffic.
Okay. That can be a CPA. Business services is also going to be someone who's basically acting as your secretary. So they aren't always heavily trafficked.
Any thoughts? Thank you, Elizabeth. Any thoughts? Business services, yes or no?
I can see that would make more sense than auto leasing. Beer, bar, tavern. Because something I miss is the rationale of adding these new uses.
Well, if there wasn't an allowed use before, so going through and saying, well, you want a mixed use of residential and commercial, and here's the types of commercial activity that we're going to say, that's the activity we're doing. Sense?
It makes sense.
And these are the things we're saying are possible in that zone, not required.
Okay. I keep reminding us of that distinction. It's the possibility of things.
I don't have an appetite for conference centers and event venues. Convenience store. 16 or 24? Or both?
16. I'm sorry, I'm stuck on this auto thing. What I would entertain, or would make it more appealing to me, would be if the autos were off-site. If this was an office where you could set it up, but there was no storage or lot within this area. Mm-hmm. Whether it was delivered, or however those work, I know Enterprise is probably one of others to, yeah, I think we just be more consistent.
Curtis has a good point. Is there a way we can bring up a difference between, like, cars for the residential uses versus general auto leasing and rentals? Because I'm thinking like a Zip car that's, you know, made for the residents of that area or something.
The station I'm thinking about has to do with the parking facilities. Mm-hmm. And that's a separate entity to the zoning. That's part of what kind of building you're in. lots of businesses will survive a place where they can't park. So I don't see that.
It's going to be self-regulating.
Very much.
Okay.
I mean, I'll use an enterprise example. There's their theme. There's a location in Redmond near the mall, Redmond Town Center. And they have a meet and greet desk. There's little tables back in the back. There's no parking at the location.
And that...
Those guys go and back and forth. They do the ballet dance to the parking lot. So the business works right there perfectly below other commercial and, yeah, and residential. Different ways to do it.
Okay, so we were at convenience stores 16 hours or less. Agreed? Okay. Equipment rental?
I would think maybe...
The one, a lot of those places also provide.
Well, this is recreational equipment, bikes, kayaks.
It says not including.
Not including.
Oh, not including. Sorry. Missed that. Not.
You know, and in HDR, are they going to need a little more? They're not.
Yep. Farmers market or produce?
We can squeeze it in. Have at it.
Pete?
So if I could add a kind of anecdotal story too, there's places all over that I've seen where there's this commercial vacant lot. Use the garden store. Right? So the commercial vacant lot is surrounded by 3, 4, 5-story buildings. It's either going to be a parking space, or somebody's going to get creative and say, okay, on Thursdays we're doing a festival, we're going to play a movie on the side of the building. It's not a planned use. We never were permitted a movie theater, right? So as long as I keep saying the same thing, say yes and let something else stop it. Mm-hmm. Because people will figure stuff out when they can.
Where do artist lofts fit in?
That fit under this upper floor dwelling unit, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, grocery supermarket, yes. They could be different size grocers.
They fit it in.
Yeah. Yes.
Heck, you know, one day these might just be the size of the enterprise lot.
Well, yeah.
Maybe that.
Yep. That one, and lots of downside examples in much higher density places where, you know, the Whole Foods is the anchor tenant with 4 stories above a residential. That would be an HD use, right?
Any thought on hardware store?
Can I go back to the supermarket description? That would be out of scale for an HDR.
You could have a 20,000-foot grocery.
Not a supermarket.
That's a grocery, though.
Yeah, but I would suggest supermarket is not a committed use in HDR grocery.
It's combined. It's not separate.
All right, first question.
Yeah.
After that, Walmart.
I think Walmart's not, they're not pure grocery, right? This is a pure grocery or
they have groceries that are just, I'm making exaggerated mark, the limit of the don't say it.
I don't know if we have, maybe if they combine some lots, then they could do a Walmart on the bottom. But I don't think we allow that much square footage.
Anybody to find a difference between the grocery and the supermarket?
I thought scale, the neighborhood grocer versus a supermarket that carries more things.
I would have a grocer and I would have a checker.
Yes,
there are no checkers.
I think supermarkets on the interstate commercial area, not HDR.
Okay. Hardware store?
Sure.
Well, the only thing I'm thinking is chemical storage. Yeah.
But that's going to get handled another way. That's like back to design standard, you allow certain things, like the propane store. You're not going to, a hardware store is not going to sell gas out of a pump just because they can sell gas in a can. There's the things that are going to stop it from.
You know, I'm kind of concerned with hardware store. I don't know how.
Visualize Carmichael's. A single pump in Carmichael's.
A little old Ace hardware store.
Some of the stuff in there is pretty.
No more toxic than somebody else has in their garage.
Where they let it, it's in the tank of the car.
Right.
All right, health club, I say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to skip hotel and motel, lumber associated sales, miniature golf course, an indoor miniature golf course. I'd like to see that.
Should it be indoor in there? That's like outside the supermarket.
Underneath.
So what do we do? Miniature golf course, skip down, indoor commercial recreational facilities, I'd say P.
Do we bypass the barbershop?
No, we
don't think so.
But we don't want some of those without
we do.
But a beauty shop? Salon, that would make sense.
I would think 2.21 is a P. Those are all services I think the residents would use.
Here's the number again.
2.21. Personal services.
A lot of those would be a lot of dreams.
So spa services. I'm tired. I'm sorry, guys. Spa services, what are they for? Personal services?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
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 Massage.
I go every week.
Mm-hmm. Massage.
That's right. Superman jumps. Yeah. Fuzzy ones.
What are you saying? Not just your rope. A bunch of massage. And... Okay. So that's P under 2.21. Indoor commercial recreational facilities. I'm thinking, you know, a golf video driving range. Bounce house, what do you call those little
cheese bounce?
Indoor climbing soccer. Walls. Climbing walls, yeah.
How about fencing?
Sure.
Yeah.
Weren't they at the block party? Yeah.
No former fencing.
Nice.
I think those uses are wrong.
Separate line item for 223.
Mm-hmm. Any
thoughts? They've taken it out of, what's that zone to the right, please? 223?
I see.
There's nothing taken out.
EP1?
Under A?
EP1.
So they've deleted it from EP1?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why?
I think the number of employees versus square footage.
It belongs in the EP's
right.
Zones. Period. There's no place else to put it.
2.23?
Yeah. And there's those two zones are so hard to distinguish, particularly something like this. I think we should stay there.
Does it fit? I guess the definition.
Well, it's primarily a warehouse space. I mean, it's the second function would be that much open space. Sorry, Jamie, remind me what the column is. Is it EP1 that's deleted?
So you're talking this right here, that I'm these two?
223.
223, nothing's been deleted. See?
223A.
What's the red R?
Oh, 223A. Indoor shooting range. Gun archery is out of EP1. And it's in EP2 and indoor. Where'd it go? Here, this one here. And I see, interchange commercial. So they swapped it for interchange
don't see a reason to delete it from a few items.
I think it's because employment.
We have it on the internet. There's a state commercial.
Those are good. I think all three of those are good places for something like that.
It is an interchange commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Either that or if you're not interested in having a very close account.
It's also
the gray is permitted, or what Jim's asking for being permitted.
Right. So if this was a recent change, they've taken it from here and here.
Right.
Put it in here.
And the dark gray. There was a separate docket, yeah.
Right. Yeah. And that got shut down because it was not a smooth path. In fact, where did I see Big Dog? Where are they now?
They're on North Bend Way.
Or no?
Quite North Bend. I don't know. They're old, like, administrative building.
So they're in
neighborhood business.
They don't have they let you shoot blanks or something.
Well, are they a tanner or are they in?
But they don't. It's not a shooting range.
They're in neighborhood business,
okay.
I think.
Well, the thing that would be interesting is that you said the EP1 and 2 will be combined. So right now it's 50-50.
Yeah.
So they're which way
right,
are we going on that,
right.
You know what I mean?
Jim, they're either in neighborhood business or EC.
That's a retail operation.
Right.
Not a live fire.
Yep.
So. I don't know. If everybody else is fine with their plan to take it out, I'm not going to do the divorce.
Okay. Let's go on to still on HDR for a restaurant. Page, non-drive-through, coffee stands. Thoughts? I say yes on coffee stands. What about non-drive-through?
I'd like to see a small restaurant, corner restaurant, but I know that they don't pop up anymore. I'm talking about amenities or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Scale, but I think there's always room for a restaurant where mom doesn't want to cook or dad doesn't want to cook. Let's go down to a corner restaurant that does that.
And Jim, what do you say? Put a P and allow it and find a reason that they
can't. Well, I, the fact that we've distinctly, although I'm not suggesting 224B necessarily is a coffee shop drive-through. Trying to determine coffee shop versus go back down the
road. So drive-through, non-drive-through. Yep.
224C.
That's a restaurant. Non-drive-through restaurant and a drive-through restaurant. That's the distinctions. So A is a drive-through.
Most coffee shops, using Starbucks as an example, thrive when there's a drive-through. Restaurants, obviously, that's not their key.
But again, we're taking HDR, which is a residential use, and we're thinking about how to commingle business with that residential and be mindful of how it services the people in the building as well as in that surrounding area. I don't think the drive-through works that well.
Well, this is on a busy intersection, it would, right? Just an alley drive-through concept. It's more about the street front end, whether it works or not. Zone.
Coffee stand. I don't think they need to walk up
to a restaurant, which is a non-drive-through,
yeah.
I hear you talking for drive-through also.
Yeah, I think they both could work there.
Okay.
The street frontage.
So, a P in 224 A, B, and C.
Show me A again, please.
That's your drive-through restaurant.
A is only allowed at Interchange Commercial right now. Yep.
Yep. Or Miss Abel's chicken or something. Fried chicken, that is.
Well, we got something at 34 at the
Popeyes. Popeyes.
Yeah. Okay.
So we didn't want to add that in, a drive thru?
Restaurants in general, drive thru. What's the difference to the drive thru below? Sorry.
One's drive thru and one is non drive thru.
Yeah. At one time, McDonald's in town was the highest retail chain of McDonald's for a while. And it's because it's on the freeway. You're not going to find it
for a right. Okay. Retail. Wholesale sales, ancillary, social fraternal clubs. So 2.25, 2.26. 2.27. Yeah. I think retail, somebody could open up a little boutique. What about?
That's retail. You're looking at wholesale.
I'm looking at 2.26 retail. That, I'm a yes on that one.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't see anything else. 2.28, social and fraternal club or lodge. No?
So let me back up a second. Just
yeah.
I'm playing a little bit devil's advocate as always. So 2.27, wholesale sales. If that doesn't include a warehouse or a distribution of some kind, I'm just thinking that the person who's got his office at the street level, that's the business that they're in, why wouldn't we allow something like that? Unless that the definition of wholesale sales suggests some kind of warehouse structure. I'm not sure why that even needs to be spelled out.
I would be okay if we were able to do in a performance number of deliveries, times of deliveries, that kind of thing, and to maintain a shipment schedule so it's compatible with residences.
I trust that it's in EP 1 and 2. Can't see it here.
Yeah.
2.27, just the concept. Wait, break it down to A and B.
Yeah, two. With assisted retail, the other is without assisted retail. So we're not talking about if a consultant or the guy that's taking orders from the client or meeting with clients.
Or internet.
Under business services, we're talking about the warehouse or the baker that has a store out front that you can go buy some stuff.
Wholesale means he's not selling retail. That's what's funny to me.
But Hostess is an example.
Yeah.
And even Franz, I think, they have their big wholesale bakery locations with a small incidental retail operation. That's what this is pointing to. And isn't really something that you're going to want underneath.
Yeah, I'm okay moving on. Okay. Social and fraternal club and lodge, storage facilities.
No? Those lodges tend to get kind of out of your mind.
Studio, art, music, poetry, etc.
You know about this case?
Yes.
You know about that word now?
First name.
Okay. 2.31, theater, auditorium, performance center. It's in neighborhood business, so I'd keep it there. Veterinary clinic.
Roof.
Yeah, why not? Okay, going on. That was 2.32, 2.33. Pawn shop, 2.35.
Is that one of the only places where?
Yeah.
Is that Interchange Commercial?
And the other thing I would say, that the pawn shop, probably when this chart was first drafted, is a different animal today. I mean, it's, if you go into the average thing that we call a pawn shop today, it's more like a retail, you know, mm-hmm. different mm-hmm. concept.
All right. 2.37, tattoo parlor or body piercing studio. How's that not under beauty and spa and that kind of personal services?
Special.
Has been since mm-hmm. the guy tried to open it 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. What is the one for?
Yeah, so it's a footnote at the bottom. It says... under notes, one.
Allowed in the IMG.
Tattoo parlors are allowed in the IMG. North of I-90, exit 31. DC, fronting North Fenway. Very specific, yeah.
That's a neighborhood issue. You just can't get away from that. It's a stigma they have.
All right, hospital, no medical dental.
Hospital needs to be in IC.
Yes. Add a P for 2.38 in IC. Okay, 2.39 medical dental in HDR. I would say yes. You could have a dentist down below.
Sure. Yep.
Okay, skipping. 4.1, and that's it. Any other changes? Anybody got any uneasiness? Okay.
I think for me, I think those are all for uses in the neighborhood business. So that's just, it's kind of like I said before, so this is my opinion on it, that I think it's good to keep those homes as homes, and that if something comes up, as they do, a docket request, or if someone wants to add something, that we can do that at times. So I just think it's premature to go in and remove central housing.
Yeah, well, I think this permits it in such a way that you keep business, right?
Yeah, but if you allow it, you're allowing it. So in essence, you're taking. Are taking away, you're allowing that to happen. If you don't allow it, then it's all homes.
No, neighborhood business.
In HDR. I'm talking about HDR. I'm saying that those uses that we just went through HDR are good for neighborhood business, not home core. We already have those, and so adding those uses into HDR takes away the housing availability.
And if I can, I'll just throw a kind of a comment on top of that. That's true from one perspective, but the actual perspective is that I think developers and the whole building process, whether it's developer or individual, if they can generate income from a part of the structure, then the likelihood that they build that second floor, the third floor, goes up. If they can't create that base of value in the beginning, then that land's going to sit as a single-story use for a long time. So there's a nice kind of yin-yang there, I think.
I like the idea, but I think that if we hold it in favor of business, then it's likely to be targeted there.
I think you have the option between downtown commercial HDR and neighborhood business, because we're providing more options for that to happen. That makes sense. So, in downtown commercial, you can pretty much do most things.
Yeah, and we'd have to look at design standards, which would be floor area ratio, and if you're thinking that NB, it would be consistent with NB. That'd have to be addressed too. So. But this would test the pulse of if there's an interest to move forward with this sort of idea.
I think, Scott, you going back. You don't like to say.
I don't know if this is, I don't think this is a vote. I'm just stating my opinion. And right. So everyone else, if everyone else on board, then so be it. You know, I'm not going to just say that that cannot be there as stated, because it's going to go to city council anyway. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying for the record, I think it's premature. That's all I'm saying. I don't think it would be bad there.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think it's necessary to put it in as permit use of this time.
Mm-hmm. I have some similar reservations, and kind of intrigued to see what comes of, you know, if you guys open city this. And then, you know, and really hear your point and kind of expand your opportunities. And then also your point. And yet my gut is attached to that.
I'm trying to take what I've heard from city council meetings and just things I've read about what the citizens want. And I think affordable housing is one, and I think that that high-density residential kind of is kind of fits in that realm. So I guess I just wouldn't want to take away from that. And I think that that's what a lot of those uses would do. I know maybe it would bring in development, yes, it would make it more desirable for development. Also create some parking issues potentially, and take away from the community. It would add and subtract from the community a little bit, you know, it would add services, but...
So Scott, you know, there's ways around that too. You could think about, well, if the height limit's 35 feet and they really need 43 to get a third or fourth story on there, would we be willing to go 15 or 20 feet higher, you know? And think about that to get a pitched roof, because we don't have flat roofs, right? You have to have a certain degree of pitch. And those are questions that I think if we get into the details that we can address, is we're not actually losing number of units, but we, you know, I hear you, but yeah. It's a way to try and get that ball rolling forward.
I think that eventually our height will increase, but I really don't want it to. And so if we put in this measure and then also we need to raise the height, I definitely would agree with that. I mean, later, yes, I'm sure, you know, as well as went up, things are going up, but...
I don't think that we'll go, you know, much higher than our three stories. I don't think there's any appetite for that at the council level. I just think to get the pitch right or however it's going to fit in. But when I look at our map, I think there's areas where height is appropriate and there's areas where it's not.
The one thing, since I, you know, get to interact more with the council committee, somewhat the council too, but more discussion, I think they might have reservations about expanding the retail and commercial, because some of them feel they really want a strong core, and we don't have that yet, so don't expand it until we do.
The downside, though... one, you have a developer with the Phoenix Plaza that won't build because he's concerned about getting more businesses to rent, right? So
right.
In a way, the market regulates itself in that respect. But on the other side of that, if we get a developer that comes in who wants to build this great product that's going to have enough residences to support his businesses
right.
down below, then that just brings more residences to service our downtown. And I think
right.
You can't have a healthy downtown without a population to support it. And if we're not going to find vacant land downtown where you can build these structures, then the vacant land will be permitted. It's going to happen. And once we have enough population to support those businesses. I mean, the same thing's even
right.
happening up on the ridge, and they've got twice the population we do. Some of the businesses come in, and some of them don't last, and some are still there. So not all businesses can be successful in these towns, and we're also seeing the change in retail markets with Amazon's success, that strip malls are going away. So definitely it's a changing marketplace. Lots to consider for what 20 years from now will look like.
Speak of economic progress we've had in 15 years. If it pleases the chair, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Is everyone comfortable with what we've done that, if the council said, sure, we'll just blanket approval of what we've done, is everybody comfortable with that happening? Because ideally that would be the case, right? You'd send it over there to blessing.
I was thinking then we'll take umbrage with what we just did.
Of course.
Well, granted, you and I, Mr. Lucky, have been on this commission a while, and I've had multiple times to think about this. And so for me, you know, it's something that I think I could have done a couple years ago. For everybody else who's newer on the commission, this might be, you know, a first kind of look at that. But I think from whatever you've heard, whether it be people testifying about the housing, what you've seen in housing prices, it goes to just that of providing the opportunity. Whether or not it happens or not, that's up to the market.
The reason I asked that question was I'm prepared to make a motion.
Before you make your motion, I'd like to ask Ms. Burrell or you to take over and consider the rest of the table and any other changes. And then I'll come back in industrial.
I thought we got to the bottom of the table.
Sorry. Well, we just did HDR primarily. So if there's somebody else that wants to comment on anything else in the commercial.
Right, the one area that we seem to have some, you know, a lot going on.
Commissioner Lucky, you have the chair.
Right, is,
we have everybody the chair at the time of the night.
Thank you. So, a question for everybody. Before we move on to another section, how's everybody for time?
I like the idea of the 9 o'clock. Yet to realize
consistently
that.
Blasted at 10 o'clock and leave here going, what did we just do?
Yeah.
Should we try something? I'm listening. Do we hear a motion?
Well, just throw it out there for consideration. We did bring it up.
The council will consider what we've already done so far, correct? If they're looking at these changes that we're making, they're going to.
I can give them an update of where you're at, pass these ideas by them at their next committee meeting. That would be in August, if you'd like, or if you want me to wait until you're done, we can do that too.
So, just sense of scale, if we on our next meeting, seems
right.
Reasonable that we could completely finish what we've started here.
Right.
Whereas if we keep going, we may get to the end of the night and go, I don't know what I just did.
Right. Would you have a preference on me waiting till you're done and giving it all at once, in case so you have time to think about this? You're going to have till about a month.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, because our next meeting is canceled, so next time we get together is the end of August.
24.
I think there would be some value in getting an official council's response.
So far?
I agree as well.
Okay. I'll do that, and I would have that for the 24th.
So is there a motion to table further discussion subject to City Council review for our next meeting?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Objections? Motion passes. Do I hear a motion for anything else? Motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
Any objections? Those in favor, aye.
Aye.
We're out of here.
Meeting is adjourned.